This morning, the cross of Christ. If you would join me, please, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me begin by sharing with you a little vignette that I found from Richard W. DeHaan from many years ago, in which he recounted a story about a group of tourists who visited a large American city. They'd come from a remote, undeveloped desert area of the world. And one of the things that impressed them the most in the hotel where they stayed was the seeming endless flow of running water. Came out of the faucets. In their arid homeland, water, fresh water, was scarce and very expensive, so they never ceased to be amazed at being able to turn a handle and get all the water that they wanted. In fact, when it came time for them to leave, the men were found with wrenches in their hands, preparing to remove the taps and take them back to the desert with them. They thought that they could, if they could just get those faucets into their own dwellings, all the water problems would be solved. What they didn't realize, that a proper connection to an abundant source was necessary, and that without being hooked into an efficient supply system, a faucet in itself is useless. You know, it is that the mistaken idea of men like that in various ways describes the spiritual dryness of many people. They have the plumbing, but they're not connected with the only source that can satisfy their thirsty souls. He went on to say that some people even believe that by turning on the faucets of church membership, good deeds or positive thinking, and the pursuit of the finer things of life can satisfy their deepest cravings. But those taps will never deliver what's really needed. The only way to receive true peace of mind and heart is to establish a correct relationship with God through personal faith in Jesus Christ. He is the right connection. He is the channel through whom the blessings, the water of life, flow through. And so, John Peterson wrote that in one of his great old hymns, "O sinner, won't you come to Calvary? Come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free where thirsting spirits can be satisfied." Would you pray with me as we look into the Scriptures for a moment here and proceed to the channel of safety? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus Christ crucified, buried, risen, and coming again. May the power of Your Word move in our hearts today. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You might move us to action. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to look all around us in the context of our 10 o'clock Bible lesson, and which I trust will dovetail with what we say now, and move us out into the community where there are people who are in danger. Help us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. When we think about the cross of Christ, it is the conduit or the channel that leads to safety. Jesus said in this light, "I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Jesus also said that, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me." He is the channel to safety. One of the hymns that we have in our book, entitled "The Way of the Cross Leads Home," says this in one of its stanzas, "I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 22, we read there, "The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. We preach Christ crucified. There at Golgotha's cross, Christ's cross, God said this, the Son of God, 1 John 3 verse 8, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He partook of flesh and blood to destroy the devil through death. And always keep this in mind when you look at Calvary. His death was the death of all deaths. Significant. Through, the word through is a key word. And the sense, of course, is a conduit, a road, a path, a one-way passage, a channel through the rocky shoals of this world. In this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That we, and we look again at verses 22 to 24 here in 1 Corinthians, we might be saved. It says, however, in this portion of Scripture that the Jews, they seek a sign. They seek a sign, and when the signs were given to them, they gave them all the back of the hand. But the Jews seek a sign. Christ crucified, the very notion of Christ crucified, is a scandal to them. A stumbling block. That's the sense of that. A scandal. Contradicting the signs so as to be so offensive. They were not at all expecting a Messiah who would come, who was destined to go to the cross. That whole idea, as preached by the church, by the apostles, was a scandal to them, which was why they reacted so angrily at those who put forth such a notion. The Greeks, however, the Gentiles, they seek wisdom. They look at the cross, they see Jesus at the cross, they hear the story of what happened there, and however much they may admit that there was a good man who died there that day, they will say, and they concluded, that the very death of Christ, one man dying for the world, was foolish. Foolishness. Moronish, literally. Moronish. But then it says in this same place, 1 Corinthians 1, but unto them, either of them, Jew or Gentile, which are called. Oh, I love that concept of calling. Oh, this, the Word of God is read, the Word of God is preached, and what goes on unseen, but just as real as this light is hot, is the unseen supernatural work of the Holy Spirit taking the living word and the seed therein and implanting it in the heart of the hearer, and in doing so calling that person from sin to salvation, calling that person from darkness into light. That is not something that is done in a formalistic way. That is not something that the human being enters into by following certain preconceived steps to salvation. That is something that the Holy Spirit does in such a mysterious way. The Lord described that in John chapter 3. The wind bloweth where it listeth. We can't tell from where it comes, but it comes. But to them which are called, Christ crucified on the cross is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And yet, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 says, to them that perish, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Jew or Gentile, in rejecting the cross, seek to cut their own channel to safety. The whole concept of modern day religion, you pick your poison. In every one, apart from biblical Christianity, there is a profound steeping in the notion that works must be a part of any progress that we make toward heaven and acceptability with God. We must do something. We must give something up. We must generate something else, but we must help God bring us to safety. But let's be clear about this. Jesus said, as I mentioned in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am. I love the repetition that John teaches throughout his gospel, the I am passages. I am the door. I'm the door of the sheep. Anybody else is a thief and a robber who tries to circumvent the one main access. He said, I am the way. The only way to safe harbor the place of peace with God is through the blood of His cross. That's the channel. That is the channel. And once they're in the channel, you can be assured that your sins are blotted out and buried in the depths of that deep old sea. He blotted out that the ordinances that were against us, our sin, and He took it out of the way. And Paul to the Colossians says He nailed it to His cross. Nailed it to His cross. People look at you, they say to you as a professed Christian, you're not any better than I am. How do you think that you can present yourself as something better than me? And the answer ought to come back out of your heart with all great conviction. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I plead guilty to my sin, but here's what also I plead guilty to. All my sins, every one of them, known to me and unknown to me or forgotten by me, were nailed to the cross. And therefore God has forgiven me. That doesn't make me any less of a great sinner, it just means that I'm a forgiven sinner. And again, the key word through, by way of, the channel. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 7, when he said that we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness and riches of grace. And then I like how he carries that over into the very next chapter, Ephesians 2, verse 7, where he says, the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness. In His kindness, and then here's that key word, through Christ. Through Christ. Now our study in Romans will shed more light on this concept of God's exclusive and well-marked channel leading to eternal blessing. You know, Philip Bliss of the Moody era wrote a hymn, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. I've enjoyed singing that hymn over the years, but I've thought in the course of the singing of it, there's something missing here, something that I don't understand. And when I would think about inquiring, I forget that I was wanting to know about it. But it happened upon me again this week. Let the lower lights be burning. You know, stanza number one reads this way. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore. But to us, He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. The chorus goes on to say, let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting seaman you may rescue, you may save. All well and good. All well and good. And when I looked into the context and the background of this hymn, one of the old radio Bible class devotionals of many, many years ago reported or had inserted into that little booklet these words that takes us back to one fateful night on Lake Erie in the Cleveland Harbor. On a dark and stormy night, the writer goes, with waves piling up like mountains. You know, when I think of Lake Erie, I don't think of mountainous waves. But last time we were down at Jeremy's, went to their soccer match and was standing there talking to a guy. He was just sitting there, and I guess two of his children were engaged. And so I walked over to him and took him up in conversation, and here to find out that he's a veteran of the Coast Guard. And as we talked on, he said that his first place of assignment was at Lake Erie. And he said, you know what? He said, you cannot possibly believe. You can't believe unless you see it yourself how raucous that lake gets in a storm, how large the waves are. And then he proceeds to tell me about this story of this gigantic tanker or freighter that was sunk in Lake Erie so deep that they never could find it. And I said, in Lake Erie all that happens? He said, yeah. I said, my life is too secluded. I need maybe go look at that lake. But then that takes me too far north. But anyhow, he said, on this particular night, a boat rocked and plunged near the Cleveland Harbor. And the question comes out from the captain's mouth, not something you want to hear out of the captain's mouth. Are we on course? Seeing only one beacon from the lighthouse. The answer came back from the officer at the helm, quite sure, sir. And the captain says, well, where are the lower lights? Gone out, sir, came the answer. Can we make harbor? We must or we perish, came the reply. And with a steady hand and a stalwart heart, the officer headed the ship toward land, but in the darkness he missed the channel. And the vessel was dashed to pieces on the rocks, and many lives were lost in the watery grave. And that incident moved Philip Bliss to write that hymn, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. And as the story unfolds with an explanation, there were to be two lights, the upper and the lower, one on each side of the bay. And ships approaching that harbor needed to sight on both lights. The upper light was always to be lit and always was. The lower light on this particular occasion was out. But the pilot of the ship needed to see the lower light because it lined up the harbor in the middle of the channel. So absent the light, to mark that center line, the channel of safe entry into the harbor, said Dr. Moody, on this fateful night, the lower light being out, nothing but tragedy. And Moody said, you know, as he recounted this, he said, brethren, the master will take care of the great lighthouse. Let us keep the lower lights burning. And stanza number two of that hymn says, dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar, so let's talk about Jesus. I insert that. The cross of Christ ever shines to gleam a ray of hope to fainting, struggling sinners. Oh, that they might be led into the harbor, the haven of rest, through the cross of Christ. That's the only channel that is on center, on point. That's the only place of safety that the sinner can flee to. And when they arrive there, their fetters fall off and they cast anchor in the haven of rest, who is none other than Christ, the Christ of Calvary, the Christ of the cross. In that he died, his death was the death of all deaths. So I leave you with this thought, this question. You and I who are to let our light so shine, is your light on? Jesus stressed the positive effect we can have on others when he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But if sin dims our testimony, if sin puts out the lower light so that it's no longer visible, some we might have influenced for Christ may drift on and on, endlessly on in spiritual darkness. I leave you to think about that. Are your lights on? Are your lights on? Is the light of your Christian testimony so brilliant that on the darkest of nights, and the most grievous circumstances, sinners can see the way to the cross. From your mouth, reflected in your life, a credible testimony of saving grace. Oh, how thankful we ought to be that Jesus, the light of the world, came in and rescued us from what we deserved. A wide, wide gaping hole in the pit of all judgment. Our Father and our God, send us from here with hearts moved, our minds working, and our determination, our wills active in doing the will of God. Help us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.